What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I'm not really going to talk about the Dodgers-Padres game from this morning. I'm going to do that tomorrow. However, I can talk about the one from yesterday that was Darvish and Glasnow, and I'll talk about that one shortly. But first, of course, as always, we do our news. And one of the biggest things of news was that if you came out to the Other Half Brewery yesterday, I had such a great time hanging out with Eno and DVR and so many other people. And thank you all to everyone who introduced themselves. It's really fun to be able to meet people who enjoy this sport as well. So truly, if you go to today's event, I will be there probably around like 6:30 for the Mike Petriello podcast with Rates and Barrels. And I will hopefully see you there. Do not hesitate to introduce yourself. It is one of the most rewarding things to be able to meet you guys. So please, you've heard my voice. I have yet to hear yours. Let's make it even. Okay, great. News to know, I'm putting out the list today. Come on by to playback.tv/pitcherlist at 2 p.m. Eastern time. That is why I'm going to be late to this event. I'm hoping to knock it out pretty quickly because there really shouldn't be many updates. But I wanted to do one more edition of the list for draft weekend so that everybody felt confident in my ranks before, a week later or so. Cause there are little things that have changed. And I'll have that out on the site around 6 o'clock. Other news. Kevin Gausman might not be ready to pitch in time, so it's probably going to be a one pass, if not two, of the rotation he's going to miss. That means Mitch White or Wes Parsons, maybe Yariel Rodriguez for the Blue Jays, and you don't want to do that because it would be the Astros. So we're not doing it. We're absolutely not. Maybe it wasn't the Astros. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's a bad matchup. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Cool. You have Alec Marsh as a fifth starter for the Royals. He's going to get a bad matchup as well. So, no, thank you. The Yankees are considering Jordan Montgomery. And by the way, just I didn't mean to breeze past Alec Marsh saying he would be taking over Jordan Lyles. That's what it looks like right now. Alec Marsh had like a moment last year, but maybe in season or something, he showcases more life. There just isn't enough, I don't think, in the fastball and the breaking ball. The Yankees are contenders, apparently, to sign Jordan Montgomery, which is just, oh, gosh. Look, it makes all the sense for the Yankees because they do need some depth in this meantime of Gerrit Cole being injured. And then by the time Gerrit Cole comes back, we don't know what's going to be like with Carlos Rodon and Nestor Cortez and Stroman has a history of injury and so on and so forth. And who knows, pitchers get hurt all the time. So it makes sense. Likewise, there's also, well, not likewise, but on the other side of it, you have Clayton Beter, Luis Gil, and Will Warren, who are all serviceable. It does make all the sense that it would be Beter, because Heal was demoted after the Cole injury, and it would take some effort for him to essentially come back to get that fifth spot out of the gate. Will Warren isn't on the 40-man, and Beter is. So Beter is in like the easiest position to then take the SP5 spot. I don't really like him that much for fantasy purposes. I prefer much more so Luis Gil if he does get it. In the long run, when it comes to this Yankee fifth spot, if it's Heal, you want him the second he comes up. Other two guys could be streamers, but not anyone that I would be stashing. And even Heal, I don't know if I need to stash it, but I think it's fine at the end of drafts right now in the off chance that he actually gets that spot out of the gate. You have the Rangers signing Michael Lorenzen to a one-year deal. He would have been the SP5 if he signed like 2 months ago. But Cody Bradford has a job now, and they already said that he is SP5, especially considering that Lorenzen would need some time to ramp up anyway. So for Lorenzen, you're probably going to see him as SP6 and likely in that rotation by May because something will go on as the dam always breaks. Kodai Senga is the opposite of that. He is a reinforcement where he's going to start throwing again within a week. We don't really know what the timetable is of that, but let's just say it's about 6 weeks from there, and that would mean an early May return. We don't know. But just keep track of that. At least it seems like it's not going to be like July, which is a good thing. And the Marlins sent down Yanni Chirinos to minor league camp. That means that the fifth spot for the Miami Marlins rotation is still kind of up in the air. Monteverde, Hoeing, Smelter. It could be Max Meyer, but I don't think it's going to be Max Meyer. I think it's just going to be Brian Hoeing and friends. And we don't want to touch that either. Okay, looking at the Dodgers and Padres game, as I mentioned, Yu Darvish went 3.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. I watched this one at the Other Half Brewery. It was really fun watching him really fight. You know, the Dodgers are a terrifying offense. You have Betts, you have Ohtani, you have Freeman, you have Muncy, you have all these guys that force really tough at-bats, and Darvish did not give in to them. And that's really the way he should be going. I think a lot of times Darvish just says, whatever, I'm going to throw sinkers for strikes and hope for the best, or here's some cutters, whatever. No, this was Darvish actually being meticulous. And I think meticulous Darvish is the best at Darvish. So you're going to see three walks here and you go, oh, I don't know, two hits and 3.2 innings. And also, I mean, he didn't have a couple go his way. He just like, he didn't fully execute at times where, you know, for example, he threw a 3-2 curveball to Freeman. I think it was, that was strike three, but it didn't give it to him. Or he did eventually get Muncy, but there was a 1-2 cutter that was beautiful inside and Muncy just barely didn't go around. What I'm getting at is that Darvish is going to go more innings later on, 72 pitches, first game of the year, understood. It's the Korea series. He is also embracing his secondaries. Lots of curveballs in this one, 15 of them. And I really do think that this is more of a refined Darvish than we have seen in the past, and that's a very good thing. Tyler Glasnow, on the other side of it, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. Not what you wanted, honestly, no decision here. We made the case for Glasnow saying, cool, it's going to be like 130 innings, which, by the way, would be the most he's thrown ever in his career in one season in the majors. Yes, I'm not doing the whole minor plus major thing. It would be the most he's thrown, and we're saying, well, it's 130, but the quality of inning is so much higher. Well, here's 5 of them, and he gave you a 3.60 ERA with a 1.20 whip in just 3 strikeouts. Obviously, first, it's a bonus game, you could say, because, you know, he's going to go in a week again, and no one else gets his actual on the board. But you didn't really get anything out of it, and that's a little frustrating. So we're just going to kind of move on. The curveball wasn't very good. The slider was great, 91, and yeah. You guys know these races going to ace. Okay. Statcast games. Actually, before I mention that, Grant Washburn is inside the playback chat and mentioned that apparently Jack Curry said it's between Luis Gil and Will Warren. So that was my initial instinct. It was between those two guys and not Beater. But Beater made sense as far as like team construction and all that annoying stuff and the business whatever. situation running a team, but yeah, it should be between Heal and Warren, and honestly it should just be Heal, and I hope they don't sign Jordan Montgomery. Okay. Casey Mize, real hot topic. This game in general, Mize versus Varland, really, really interesting. So 4.2 innings for Mize, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. I've been assuming that it's going to be Manning and Olsen and Mize not in the rotation. Just because he's coming off of Tommy John, they want to limit innings. It makes a lot of sense. Olsen seems more prepared to go a full season. And I honestly think that might be what they go with still. But Mize is making it interesting. He's up to 70 pitches now. And I would be all over Mize if he is guaranteed to start. But he isn't. And we don't know yet. This is also not the greatest outing from Mize. 94.8, not like 96, not like 95 and change, like 94.8, which is essentially 95, we can say. He did touch 97.7, so that's cool. His four-seamer is really good. It's a really good four-seamer, and it only earned 4 whiffs out of 36 thrown. And then the splitter was sub 50% strikes without a single whiff on 11 thrown, and his slider was sub 60% strike rate. Not the best Casey Mize outing. The results are fine, but I wanted a little bit more here. So pay attention to Casey Mize. If he is in that rotation, I'm still very much in, but yeah, come on, be better. Speaking of being better, Louis Varland did not control his four-seamer at all here. 4 innings, 8 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and 0 Ks. Oh boy. I'm still very much in on the Louis Varland train. I don't think this is who he is. It was not a good day, and it's really annoying because he finally said, hey, we said, hey, cool, Varland, you're in now. Show us what you got, and this is what he does, and it's just, no, man, you got to take advantage of this one. But anyway, at least he has a spot. There's no way that's getting ousted at this point. So unless he does this again, which he won't, he'll probably have one more before the start of the season. Let's hope for the best and make sure we're feeling good about it. I'm not reading too much into this one, but I will note when I do the list later today, Varland's going to be a little bit lower than you might think. Like he's going to be underneath Jared Jones, for example. Just as a heads up. All right, we're going to talk about Christian Scott and a lot more other guys. And Scott's a very interesting one. Lots of hype around him. We're going to talk about all of them after this break. Christian Scott went 4 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. 42% CSW in 59 pitches. Oh my gosh. So who is this guy? What does he do? He has a very flat four-seamer and he throws it upstairs. He does not have IVB. No, it's fine extension. It's not, he's not an extension boy like Manning or a Wheeler to make it for the IVB, but it's so flat and it comes in at 95, 96 and the location is great. And this is how Christian Scott makes his money. I mean, it's funny because StatCast was calling it a sinker because of the low IVB at first, and they corrected it this morning to be a four seamer. The interesting thing here too is that I don't know how good the secondaries are, but Nick, I saw that sweeper. My gosh. Yeah, there were some that were amazing, and that's going to be his main number two pitch. And he doesn't really need it because it's four seamer focused. But yeah, that's a good pitch. The thing is, not good against lefties. So then he has a slider, not a sweeper. That one, well, that wasn't used against lefties. Only threw one of them, and it was way far inside in a two-strike count for a ball. So what did he throw? A changeup that he hung a ton and wasn't very good. I worry a little bit about that. It reminds me of kind of like Bryce Miller and Brian Wu, who both struggled a bit against lefties, but had this really good four-seamer, right? Christian Scott is more on the Wu side because I trust that four-seamer command. It's much more flat than it is with Bryce Miller. But Wu doesn't have the sweeper, so it's not the best comp. But you understand my point. This could be Christian Scott coming up for the Mets this year and doing really well, but we got to figure out how to get lefties out proper. So I'm excited for that. When he does come up, Christian Scott, he is going to be an auto pickup. I would probably put him inside the top 10 of guys to stash, but it's going to be a moment likely. That said, after Tyler McGill, I guess it's Jose Budo first. So that's fine. And then Senga returns. And yeah, so it's going to be a little bit before Scott. You might see Dom Hamill or Dominic Hamill, depending on what site you're going on, before Christian Scott. He's going today for the Mets just because he has a little bit more seasoning inside the minors. But honestly, Christian Scott is like, yeah, really, really good. Okay. Patrick Monteverde is part of that whole thing with the Marlins. Does not matter. Don't monitor this, really. Marco Gonzalez, 3.2 innings of 9 earned runs. Man, I do wonder if like Marco Gonzalez is just terrible, then does that make it so that Jared Jones actually has that rotation spot? Like, obviously they're not going to remove Marco Gonzalez now, but maybe like in a month, it just makes it clear that Jones or even Skeens gets an opportunity. Just something to think about there, but I don't expect him to go 9 runs in 3.2 innings all the time. Quinn Priester is another option for the Pirates, who also went in this game 3 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks, just 4 whiffs. I'm like, no, he's not it. Luke Weaver, 3.1 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. I'm sure the Yankees are really happy that he's healthy. I mean, he had some neck soreness before. Looks like he's past that. And it's very possible he actually starts for the Yankees because that's what they got him. They got him as like the replacement bulk guy in case, you know, everything failed. So you might see Luke Weaver. Maybe, you might even see like Luis Gil, but then it's 4 innings of that and then Luke Weaver or something. I imagine you're going to see a little bit of him early on in the year, which is not good for fantasy. Colorado versus Arizona, you have Peter Lambert going, and who cares? And Tommy Henry and Bryce Jarvis for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who cares? They're probably going to be the guys that are backing up the fifth spot in the rotation because of Eduardo Rodriguez being out. And that's going to be their solution, I'm pretty sure, and you do not care for fantasy. You have Bowden Francis going against Atlanta. Did not look good. 4.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. And the fact that he gets the Rays and then the Yankees, or it's Houston first if Gausman isn't ready. But yeah, no, I don't want to do that. You have Raisel Iglesias. I'm just sorry about Bowden Francis. You have interesting four-seamers and curveballs, but like the matchups are just too bad. You have Raisel Iglesias against the... against the Jason. By the way, I'm realizing that like I messed something up with like the Astros are always everyone's first start, and I don't understand how that is happening. like they can't play every team, Nick. So I'm just saying a quick look right now. I have this amazing sheet that I made. I call it amazing because it's amazing for me. Of course, everything I do is amazing now. Alec Marsh would be getting the Orioles first, not the Astros, and then the Astros would be second. So got some clarification there. I apologize for that one about the Royals and Alec Marsh before. I'm still out on that. The Orioles are a very good offense, even though they're in Camden. And then the other team that I mentioned it with, was it the Yankees? Is it possible? I don't know. Houston is around. Houston is a thing that exists. Yeah, Clark Schmidt would be getting Houston, and not Luis Gil and Will Warren. Those guys would be getting the Diamondbacks. That's the first series for the Yankees is Houston. super interesting stuff. I'm really looking forward to that series. Moving on here to past Bowden Francis into Raisel Iglesias and Mark Leiter Jr., which is bullpen games. You have Paul Blackburn at 6 innings of 0 earned runs. Great for him. I'm so happy. No, thank you very much. I'm not going to touch that. Even against the Guardians and Tigers. Nope, I don't care. Jordan Hicks, 4.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks against the Angels. He gets the Padres to start the year twice. I don't really like that. I think that Jordan Hicks needs to do more. Apparently, he was throwing splitters in this one, which is nice. That's the third pitch. I hope this works out for the Giants. They obviously need the help, but no, I don't want to do it. I want to wait and see where the Padres for Jordan Hicks. Tyler Anderson, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's a Toby at best, and maybe he does well against the Giants or against the Marlins in the first start. I don't really want to go for it. Maybe the changeup is good enough, but it just feels too pedestrian, too low of a ceiling to chase. Tywin Walker is like Marco Gonzalez, where he just might get ousted. 2.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 1 K. We saw him last time when we had data at under 90 miles per hour. That would mean like Mick Abel would show up, maybe Spencer Turnbull or something. If Mick Abel, I mean, he could honestly be a spec ad in the first week or two because of this. But we'll see what the Phillies do. Dean Kramer against the Phillies, 3.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the Angels and the Pirates in his first 2 starts. And that's pretty spicy for a sneaky, sneaky win potential. Don't rule it out. They'll throw him out there for 5-6 innings. And those are not good offenses, and you can get a win. You have Andrew Wants and Brady Singer against each other. Wants, no thank you. And Singer, 7 earned runs and 4.2 innings. All that talk of him adding stuff, it didn't make any sense. And he's like, oh, cool, yeah, I'm adding a sweeper. I'm like, well, lefties, though. Your fault has always been lefties. Yeah, but the sweeper's good against righties. I'm like, yeah, but you had a sinker and a slider already that was good against righties. I don't know. Did not go well yesterday. Dane Dunning, 8 strikeouts, 5 innings. And we don't have data, but we do have data. We have, like, some data. And we only have 40 pitches of data. But across those 40 pitches, it was 18 whiffs for Dane Dunning, which is what? That's kind of wild. He gets the Rays and Astros early, sadly. Everyone gets the Astros. No, it is Rays and Astros. And Dane Dunning, sorry, buddy, but no, I'm not going to take a chance there. We'll follow it in season. Rhett Lauder pitch, then I got nothing for you. 1.1 innings of 500 runs and no TV or data. So I'll wait until some point this year. And pitches for Cincinnati, it's not really something I want to go for anyway in the situation line. Richardson also went 4 innings of 0 earned runs, but he's like such a not option for them, and don't worry about that. Steven Matz went 4 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Don't care, it's the Dodgers up first. And then you have Zach Davies, 3.2 innings of 9 earned runs, and apparently he's still the SP6, and of course he is, because who else is there? DJ Hers, that's number 7. Eventually DJ Hers, that'll be kind of interesting when he does, but Zach Davies obviously not. And last but not least, do not forget, because I want to save this for last at the end of the podcast for the people who really listen all the way through, Michael Soroka, 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. I've heard rumblings that he's throwing a 4-seamer now. He threw a slider down and into lefties as a put-away pitch, which he didn't have before. He didn't have the 4-seamer before. He was more of a sinker guy. Apparently, he's looking all really good, and he's going to have such a leash with the White Sox. Like, that is such an amazing runway for him. I know the wins are not going to be as good because it's the White Sox. Still, there's value to be had, and he gets the Tigers and the Royals first, and I'm so tempted, even in my 12-teamers. If Soroka's going the opening weekend, maybe I'm going to get some sneaky value with Soroka against the Tigers, and then I'll also be able to say, okay, is this good enough to hold on for the Royals? Maybe. That might be some really fun stuff, because after the first start, you might not be able to get him. I'm just so curious, because we have no data. We have no way to really hype him up right now. And I'm stoked for it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening. Of course, the list will come out later today. But that is all. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.